Good morning. Is God good? I know it'd be hard pressed for some people to say that after the tragedies in the airline industry. But I was really impressed that, you know, as President Trump was calling the United States to the golden age of America, that I think God is calling the church the golden age of the church, a fountain of life even. And we are called when we see such tragedy, to pray for those that are in the midst of it and to give them the courage they need and the comfort of the Holy Spirit that belongs to us, and we can give it away freely. We just talked about that in that song. We give away what we can never lose. We're never going to lose the comfort of God, are we? And even if we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, we don't care. In fact, some of you may know Rick Pavlett passed away. Did you know that? Yeah. So we're praying for his family as well. Well, today I'd like to talk about creation in a different way. So let's go to Genesis 1. I was hoping Kathy would be with us online, but I don't see her. She was asking about this. Because so many times we think we know something, and yet there's much more to know than we know. Is that right? Sounds crazy language. But it's true. Even after we think we figured it all out, the Lord opens a whole new vision, a way to look at things. But more than that, the depth of field becomes wonderful to us. And it's interesting that the writer of Genesis, probably Moses, says, in the beginning, so stop right there, there's a beginning. And I think that that's, you know, as the physicists will talk about beginnings and ends, as well, the universe is a continuum and there's no beginning and no end. Well, I'll go with that too. But here it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So who does the creating? God, not you, not the guys that build the beautiful skyscrapers all over the world, not just in New York, but in every city. It seems like everybody has to have buildings that are tall. Did you ever think about that? Why would they want to do that anyway? They have to get the water all the way up the top to put out fires and whatever. Why don't you just build 7-story buildings instead of, you know, 107? But it's like man wants to reach out to God and say, yeah, I can do this too. Well, you can't. And if you're a scuba diver like me, I don't know how many out there that do this, but when you go underwater for any length of time, you realize God is an unbelievable creator. Just below the surface is an alien world of creatures we don't have any idea about, except maybe fish. And it's like in the coral reefs, it doesn't take you long to figure it out. Our God is a much more creative creator than we ever thought he could be. There are things that exist take a look at crabs. You know, they're just unbelievable, right? And the moray eels and all the things that are down there, the sea slugs and all, seahorses, et cetera, et cetera. But God is the one who created the heavens and the earth. But one thing it doesn't talk about here is how he created it. So he could have easily said, God created E equals MC squared. I guess there's some idea that matter and energy are related somehow, and maybe the keys to some of the things that we see and know and touch would be more of what we understand. But that's not what Genesis 1 is about. Genesis 1 is talking about God is the creator. Not how he did it, but that he did do it. The earth was without form and void, darkness over the face of the deep. This is even before he created the earth. How could that even be? Except water existed before then. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I remember talking to Dale about this at one point. He says, well, that word hovering is like a sine wave going up and down. There's a vibration that happens. And when the Spirit of God is moving, you better believe there's a vibration that's happening. It's happening in Washington. We prayed for it, didn't we? And I believe that God is going to do something new and is doing something new in our government. We prayed for that, and he is answering our prayers. So let's skip all the way to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John sees creation in a different way. He's no longer talking about God being the creator, but he's saying, well, who the creator is. So here he says, Genesis 1, remember, says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. So there was a spoken word, a breath of God, like a sine wave, however you want to say it. There's many ways we could say this. In the beginning was the Word. He says the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. That's very important. Because God's name is I Am. So I can imagine him before light was created, before the darkness, the expanse of the universe was created. He did create that too. The time continuum was all God. Before any of those things, he spoke. Breath came out from his mouth. And he said, I am. The same words he's given to you to speak. You are not just a creature roaming this earth to live and die and never be remembered again. But you are who God created you to be. And he will never forget you. He will never forget you. Not just your friends. God will never forget you. So it's a new, we spoke about it. I mean, we sing about these things. We're devoted to the concepts, but we don't think about them as much as we ought to. Well, the Word went forth and it produced something, didn't it? Wow. I can't imagine how that might have been. I mean, the first things they say in the Big Bang came out were things that were going at the speed of light, which would be light. So the first ray of light, nobody's caught up with it yet. Right? No, nothing goes faster than the speed of light. So for that photon, nothing has changed from the beginning. And God is without change too. He said he was, he, wait, what is John saying? Now he's not just talking about creation. He's talking about a person. He was in the beginning with God. That is, he, Jesus, was with God. In the beginning, he wasn't somehow created later like an angel or like creatures of the earth. He was there right at the beginning. Aren't you glad? So you're speaking to a Jehovah Witness, you can tell him, no, he's not an angel. He was with God. And there, that with is like part of God. All things were made through him. So the Godhead becomes one thing. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Right there, right in the first three verses. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Jesus was involved in all of the creation. Matter and energy, all of it. In him, now here's John's really doing a giant leap from our physical world and the reality of these, our God in heaven, to what is going on. Verse 4, in him was not just God, but life. So there was something in him that needed to be expressed. And the reason God created this continuum of time and energy in this universe was so he could express himself of who he was and who is God. God is love, and he needs to express that. And he's going to express it in his creation, and he's going to express it through you, whether you want him to or not. And that life is going to come from you. You say, all I can do is like think about all of the trials and tribulations I'm going through. I have all of these diseases that seem to afflict me all the time, and And when they leave, they come back, and the flu next year will be different. And who knows what the enemy has for us. Well, get over it. There's life that God has breathed into you in this day and this hour. And that life needs to be expressed in the midst of the traffic that the enemy puts ahead of you. That's all it is. Do you like traffic? Nobody likes traffic, but I do. Get in my car and say, give me some traffic. And him was life, and the life was the light of men. So he's going from life to light, from the metaphorical to the physical. Life is something we can hardly define. It isn't just breathing flesh. Life is something much more than that. And it's much more than that in that it's light. We'd be able to see things that other animals could never see. They can understand, figure things out, make tools, whatever they want to do, but they can't see what we see. We come to here this morning. Why? Why'd you come here? Because you like to be with people? You could pick a better group. Because you like to sing? You could pick a better choir. Do you like the cross in front here? I'd like it, but no, that's not why we come together. We come together because God is in our midst. And we can express together what we can't just express alone. The light of men, the life that God has breathed into us. And then in verse 5, he says, the light shines and it doesn't just stop here. It's not like a candle that you can't see outside of a wall. But this light goes on forever. The light that shines in the darkness, just like that first photon. The darkness doesn't understand. How can it? It has never known light. And what is this coming? And the enemy is like that many times in our life. And God puts you in situations and say, I don't know what to do. And you ask the Lord what to do. And he gives you some things to do. But the thing that you can do best is to pray. And if you don't know how to pray in English, you can pray in tongues, the tongues of angels. And I don't think the darkness can understand the language of angels. And even if it could, the angel's tongue can change. Right? I really kind of like that. I really like that. It's part of who I am. When I can't touch those 67 families that lost their loved ones on that airplane, my prayers can touch each and every one. The light that God has given and the life that God has given in me can touch them. How can that happen? It's miraculous. Just like every breath that you breathe is miraculous. I don't want to go into biology tonight, or this afternoon, this morning. The biology of it's too complex for me to just spend a half an hour or an hour. I would have to spend 15 weeks just on your blood. You know how I know that? Because I taught hematology at Marist College just a few years ago. 15 weeks. And I didn't cover all the aspects of what blood is. It's a wonderful thing. It's no accident, by the way, that God uses blood as a metaphor, but also the real blood of Jesus to save us from our sin. The next verse talks about another person, somewhat like us, but not quite. Because unlike us, he isn't filled with the Spirit. We're filled and baptized in the Spirit, which means we're wet, drenched with his holiness all around us. Even when you don't feel like it, you are. Everyone in this room. No exceptions. But John the Baptist didn't have that. He was the Old Testament prophet living in the New Testament. So he was a transition. He certainly knew the Spirit because the Spirit talked to him. Whether he was baptized to the point of being totally wet all the time, I don't know. Here it is, verse 6. And a man was sent from God, and you are, and his name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. So what is why does God need a witness? Because he said, you should have. Jesus said, you have to have, even he, Jesus, has to have a witness. Remember, he was confronting the Pharisees. He says, even if I didn't have a witness, I still have one, the Father. That's two, actually, Holy Spirit. The man came to witness and bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He, that is John, was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world, no exception. So the light that comes into the world is the light that every man and woman on this earth needs. Whether they believe in Christianity or not, they need Jesus. They don't need an angel. The earth has had many, some good, some bad. What they need is the Lord himself, the Creator, to come down again and create that life and light in you again. Breathe into you his Holy Spirit. Verse 10. He was in the world, that is Jesus. The world was made through him. You know, going all the way back to Genesis again. The world, but the world didn't know him. He came to this world, his own, and his own did not receive him. What a tragedy. Like, what is going on? Are they blind? Yes, they were. But as many as that did receive him, to them he gave the right to become, here it is, the children of God, to those who believe in his name. So this isn't a cult. What God is creating in the church are the children of God. You are the saints of God. You are the children of God. It isn't something that will happen in the future. It's already here. Not all of the aspects of being a child of God are yours because you haven't laid hold of them. But little by little, you're being changed into the likeness of Christ. Sometimes lot by lot. So slow down, Lord. Because here it is, verse 13. I love this verse. Because you weren't born of blood or the will of the flesh. So it wasn't my mom and dad falling in love with each other. See, I thought that was what happened. Well, in the physical, it did. In the flesh, that's what happened. But it says, nor the will of man, but of God. A child of God isn't just born of man and a woman. You're born of God. Now, I don't know when that happened in your life, but it did happen. And that's what's bringing you here. That's, like I said, but in many other places you could be this morning, but you're here. Then he speaks about what happened when God came to earth, verse 14. Creation, this is creation, but this is the beginning of the creation of the church, right? Verse 14, the Word became flesh. That is Jesus, the Word, became flesh. He was born, dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory in the flesh. We beheld the glory of God in flesh. The glory as in the only begotten of the Father. So he is the Son of God and the Son of Man, both full of grace and truth. Aren't you glad? Now we know that to be true because of the Mount of Transfiguration. He called his disciples up to watch it happen. He was transformed into a holiness and the glory of God that they said, whoa, what's going on here? We need to build a temple here. We know that in other ways, too. Well, John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now, do you remember the story of Elizabeth and Mary? Who was born first? John. How could he say such a thing? Do you think he lost touch with his cousin? Didn't know that he was flesh and blood, his cousin? Of course he did. But he also knew something else was here in the flesh that wasn't born of man, but it was born of God. And he knew it was the Christ. He knew it. Not by a natural birth, but by the birth of our Lord Jesus in the womb of Mary. And verse 16, and of his fullness, that is Jesus, we have all received, oh, I'm so glad for this today, grace upon grace. That's like grace without end. God doesn't have just one container of grace, and it's all gone. When you're praying for those who are really tragically, horrifically killed in a plane crash and their families, you can pray for grace to be poured out upon them. For the law was given through Moses, for what good it was, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So he's not giving us law like Moses. In fact, the law that Jesus gives us is much more difficult, so difficult that we can't do it in ourselves ever. We need his Holy Spirit within us to fulfill that law. Verse 18, no one has seen God at any time. Referring to Moses. Remember, Moses had to hide, the Lord had to hide Moses in the cleft of a cliff so that he wouldn't see God. But after the Lord passed by, he could then look after him. Well, that's what he's referring to here. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ openly for us to see. Not, we are no longer hidden in the cleft of a rock. Say, oh, you can't see God. This is too holy of a place for you. And remember, the Holy of Holies place, Moses like took off the, you can't stand here. Take your shoes off. They're full of dirt. Get them off. I don't know how his toes were, but can't stand in the presence of God. But we can and do. And this morning we did. It's a miraculous thing. This isn't normal animals on the face of planet Earth. This is the Church of Christ taking form. No one has seen God anytime. Only the begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father. He, that is Jesus, has declared him. So he isn't just the Son of God, but he's declaring the fullness of who God is. Again, declaration is a spoken word. He speaks about who God is. He isn't somehow mystically telling you who the Father is, although he does, but he tells you who he is in plain English. And if you don't know English, he'll give it to you in another language. Well, the Pharisees obviously had something to say to John in verse 19. He says, now this is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to check him out, he said, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Hello. You guys got it wrong. I don't know who sent the priests and Levites out there, but no, I'm not the Christ. Why were they looking for the Christ? This guy's baptizing people in water, but why would they care? Well, we'll find out. They asked him, well, what then? If you're not the Christ, are you Elijah? He said, nope, not me. Are you a prophet? Well, he said, no. And then he said to him, well, who are you? And we need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And he said, this is who I am, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. Something is going to happen. Just as the prophet Isaiah had said. Oh, now they're going to start listening to what he's saying. Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees. Oh, those guys. And they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet? So they're saying that even then, before the cross, that they knew that the Christ would be baptizing. What was baptism then as compared to the baptism you had? You were baptized into Christ, into the new life. But what was their baptism that they were talking about? What was that baptism into Christ talking about? They somehow knew about, they had a premonition that that's what was going on. But John says, no, this isn't it. Well, this is what was going on in those days. If you were a Jew, you didn't have to be baptized because you were already a Jew. But if you were not a Jew and you were a Greek, the Pharisees, according to the Pharisees, you would have to be baptized to be in the Jewish faith. The baptism of repentance for being not a Jew for not following the Lord. So now you could be part of the Jewish nation, baptized. Well, now they're really confused. He's not it. John answered them and says, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you don't know. One among you who you don't know. It is he who is coming after me. It is he who is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. So John knew and understood something's up. You know, repent, for the kingdom of God is getting closer, guys. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Want to talk about the kingdom of God. It starts with King Jesus. Kingdom of God. Now we start talking about the names of Christ. The names are not just names. They describe who he is. Just like your name describes who you are, if it's a Christian name. Or should. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, oh, look out. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. How could he say that? I thought it was just for the Jews that the Christ was coming. No. I thought it was just for the Jews that the Lamb would be slain for their sins. No. For the sin of the world, the whole world, Jew and Gentile, both. Just as the shepherds heard in the field by night, they heard it now through John. And this is he whom they said comes after, the man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Okay, John. I did not know him, but he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness of him, saying this, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. Not a dove, but like a dove. There were many different accounts of the story. But he saw the Spirit of God coming down, descending from heaven. And he remained upon him. Now, there were many Old Testament prophets who felt and knew the Spirit of God, but they didn't remain on them. As their own testimony will show you. It's like the Holy Spirit visits them and then takes off. And visits them and comes back again. And many of them spent a lot of time with the Spirit, but not baptized in the Spirit. Jesus is the one and the only one who can baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That's what John's saying. I wouldn't contradict him. I didn't know him. It's he who has sent me to baptize with water. Upon him you see the Spirit descending and remain on him. This is he who baptized not just with water anymore, but with the Holy Spirit. Why is it so important that we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Here it is. And the Holy Spirit has seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Before I was baptized in the Spirit, I believed and had faith that there was a God in heaven. I believed and I had faith that Jesus died on the cross. But after I was baptized in the Spirit, I didn't have to have faith. I knew it because he resided in me. So Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who has saved us, our Savior. Do we still need a Savior? Yes. Yeah, come on. I need a Savior. Just have to ask somebody close to you, do I need a Savior? You may not want to know the answer. Verse 35. Again, the next day, John stood with two of his disciples, that's John's disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. He wanted to make sure they understood that. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So they said, oh, cool. Let's see what's going on. And Jesus turned, seeing them, he said, what are you after? What do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, or teacher, where are you staying? I said, come see. I came and saw and he was where he was staying and remained with him that whole day. So there was a 24-hour prayer meeting. Let's spend 24 hours with Jesus. Don't you wish you could do that in the flesh? Come on. Be honest. Don't you wish you could be there to see Jesus, feel him, feel his breath, hear his hear his voice? Well, Jesus says, greater are you who haven't seen these things and still believe. That's us. Wow. Now, so Jesus is a teacher. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Word. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's all of these things. He's a creative creator. He's not just a creator. He's a creative creator. Continuing. We heard that this morning. God isn't finished with us. He's still speaking into our life, creating a new you. We are new every morning, Scripture says. Well, one of the two who heard John speak, that's John the Baptist, followed after the Lord, him, and his name was Andrew. Andrew was Simon Peter's brother, remember? Sons of Zebedee. He first found his own brother Simon and said, so they had a family relationship. That's a good thing, right, Claudia? Yeah. And he says to him, Simon, Simon, we found the Messiah, the Christ. And they brought him to Jesus. So they weren't just fishermen. They weren't just doing their job. They had heard the rumors from the Pharisees, no doubt, that there was somebody baptizing in Bethany. And they knew that something was up. And the first thing Andrew does is, I got to tell my brother, we found the Messiah. So Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior. Not only the Savior, but the Christ. Christ is a wonderful name given to the firstborn of many brethren. The Messiah, the leader, the one who is going to rescue the nation of Israel. And yet, they were disappointed, weren't they? Because they didn't expect him to die on the cross for that. They wanted something more or something much less. Now, when Jesus looked upon them, he said, oh, you ever get the feeling Jesus is looking right at you? You're praying, you're worshiping the Lord, and you know he's looking right at you? Well, he does. If you haven't experienced that, it belongs to you. You are his child. He looked upon him and said, Simon, son of Jonah, using his earthly given name, said, no, I'm going to give you a new name. You should be called the Rock. Now, later, it is Peter who gives Jesus. He says, who do you think I am? And he says, oh, you are the Christ, Son of the living God. And he says, well, Peter, flesh and blood didn't tell you this. It was the Spirit. And upon this, I will build my church. Not the Peter himself, but the concept of who God is, he's going to build the church. He didn't make Peter the Pope then and say, I'm going to build the church on whatever Peter says. So he wasn't the first Pope. Sorry. He was just a person who had a revelation of who God is. But who had the first revelation about that? It was Andrew, sorry. So these two guys are pretty special to the Lord. But even if he calls Peter a stone, a rock, Jesus is the cornerstone of the whole new world. He's going to change everything of who God is and who man is from this point on. Nothing will be the same. It'll be like a new Congress. It will be like a new United States of America. It'll be like truth that will come out from the mouth of God himself, not of a man. It can't possibly be a ruler. He is the ruler of all the rulers. He is the King of kings, the Lord of Lords, over all things. There is none beside him. Peter said that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And God will build his church upon that revelation. And that's just the beginning. That is just the beginning. I can imagine when Jesus was laying hands on people that were lining up to be healed, some blind, some crippled, some with broken bones, whatever. What he healed most was the brokenhearted. What he healed most were those who were torn away from the human race by the evil one and were filled with demons and didn't know how to even come to God. He healed them. Now, can you imagine not being able to go to God, not being able to even see God, coming to this man, God, and he touches you. He doesn't have to say anything. Your eyes suddenly see what he sees. Your ears suddenly hear what he hears. You've been deaf for too long. O church, you have been deaf for too long. You have been blind too long to see the works of the enemy. Let me tell you something. There was only one Satan that was created by God. Not many. He's not as big as you think he is. There are many angelic forces that went with him when the angels left, but they're still, you give him way too much credit. The enemy doesn't underestimate you, however. And when you pray, the gates of hell tremble before the church. And there's going to be a day when the first persons called to the White House will not be the cabinet during a crisis. It will be those who pray. I'm not so sure that didn't happen this time, from what I understand. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, for calling us as a people, as a church, as a person. You have called each of one of us as individuals to your side to be embraced by you, Lord God, that we would not just be men and women created by and thought of by other men and women, but we'd be your children this day and this hour. Not a special cult. Oh, heaven forbid that we think we're special. We are humble, lowly people before you. There are cathedrals that would make this building look like sick, like a sickness that needs to be put away. But we are not that, Lord God. We have been called by you according to your purpose and your plan this morning. In Jesus' name. And we pray for those who are sick among us, those that cannot be here, some with serious diseases. Pray for each one. Not with our own empathy, compassion, but Lord, with your compassion. We reach out to them, just as you would reach out to a lonely and desperate people in your time. We're lonely and desperate today as well. Thank you, Jesus. Heal your body.